Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a question from somebody who feels like her only two options are to compromise or to be alone. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
So please take our advice as you see fit. We're only here to offer our humble musings to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding, but mostly confusing experience that is love. All right. Welcome to this episode. It's been a minute, y'all. If you can't tell, I'm still struggling with my voice, and it's been like a week later. We had like a million scheduling issues over the last couple weeks because of multiple illnesses and one very bad recording error. I won't say who did it.
It was me. I did it.
It's okay. I've done more of them, so you're forgiven. So actually, this is a moment just to say thank you to my wonderful co-host and my wonderful producer, our wonderful producer Spencer, for like a chaotic couple weeks of scheduling and rescheduling and re-recording. We've just have like kind of been put through the ringer. So thanks to my wonderful team. Public thanks. And yeah. Before we dive into today's letter, we're going to do a quick check-in topic that is inspired by a conversation I had this morning with my wife that was inspired by a terrible dream I had.
Love it. Love it. So much inspiration.
Okay. So last night I had a dream about cheating on my wife, that I cheated on my wife and she was leaving me, which I've never done. I've never cheated on my wife in this current iteration of our relationship. But it was a little insider joke. So yeah, obviously I haven't cheated on my wife. My wife's not leaving me, but as I was waking up from my dream, I was like panicking and she had to be like, "It's okay, honey. We're happy. Like, you don't have enough time to cheat on me because you're a stay-at-home mom." And once I like got to my senses, we were like laughing about it and having a conversation about, you know, that we are really happy and we feel really grateful for our relationship and the health of our relationship. And we got into this conversation about, you know, what it takes to be together long term and how you kind of have to prepare for seasons of not liking each other a ton. Not that, you know, you always like each other, but like, there's going to be seasons of hardship in relationships, whether it's logistical, whether it's emotional, whether it's, I don't know, health related. There's always going to be seasons of hardships in relationships. And my wife is saying something that I thought was like so simple and so profound at the same time, which is you prepare for those seasons of hardships by getting used to and getting extremely practiced in honest and uncomfortable communication when things are going well. You know, when things are going well, you really need to practice saying the things that are uncomfortable. You know, and I know when things are going well, those things are few and far between, but like learning how to talk about uncomfortable things in your relationship, getting practice at it will, I think, better prepare you for those harder times and often like maybe even cushion you for those harder times because you don't have the buildup of resentment. You don't have the buildup of harboring, you know, anger or not communicating fully. Like if you think about it, like those little pains, those little stabs of, or pricks, I should say, of uncomfortable conversations as you go, will sort of prevent it being one big like slashing wound. I don't really know why I'm going with like a knife analogy here.
It's wild. It's really wild.
Yeah, man. I don't know, y'all. It's been a crazy weekend. Lots of puking in my house. Anyway, can you speak to any of that?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like a couple things that are there, which is like the idea of like not letting things build up, right? Like where it's like, oh, I don't want to talk about that because we're like having such a good time, but like I'm sort of becoming resentful or like I'm holding it. And then like suddenly it's like, boom, everything explodes. And it's like, here's all the stuff that's been going on that I haven't talked to you about either because I don't want to like ruin our good vibes or like I don't feel comfortable with it. And two, like the actual practice of difficult conversations, like gets easier as you practice it.
Yes.
Right. Like it's, you know, that's like, it. It's like you stymie the resentment by like talking about things as they're happening. And then you also develop that ability to like have difficult conversations with each other. And I think, you know, one of the things that I talk about in my work outside of this podcast is like, it's better to have conversations about how you're going to handle conflict when it inevitably comes up before the conflict comes up, right? So that you're not trying to navigate how do we handle this together while you're also like mad at each other or like frustrated or whatever it is. So it's like, it's actually better when things are good to say like, okay, why don't we talk about like, what are our preferences and practices when we're in conflict with each other? So like, how are we going to agree when like one of us gets activated or both of us gets activated to handle it? Are we going to like pause and sit down and like hash everything out right there? Are we going to agree to take time away from each other to process what we need to? Are we going to communicate with each other face to face? Are we going to use our therapists to do that? Are we going to write things down and then talk about it? Right? Like we all have all of these different ways of engaging in the practice of conflict, and we assume that like everyone just knows or like that we can handle it when it
happens.
Yeah, or
that we have the same rules.
Yeah, absolutely. And so like it's good to actually be like, you know, when I get upset about something, the first thing that I want to do is like stop talking and like leave the room. Like that doesn't mean that I'm mad at you or like want to break up with you or any of those things. It's just like that's how my body wants to process this discomfort that I'm experiencing is like, I need time to think it through. And like, if I was dating somebody who's like, I want to sit down with you and hash it out in this moment immediately, that would be like, that would make the conflict worse if we weren't talking about it. You know what I mean? Like it would inflame it because I would be like really quiet and want to leave the room. And they'd be like, why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you talking to me? And I'd be like, why is this person talking to me? Like this happens all the time in lots of different places. So I think it's also helpful, not just to practice those difficult conversations when things are going well, but also to like talk about like when stuff doesn't go well, how are we gonna handle it together before that happens, right? Like how can we be readier for the inevitability that one of us is gonna be really crabby and sick and not know how to deal with it, or we're gonna disagree about what our future is going to look like and we're going to need to figure that out, right? Like all of that stuff can be helpful to do with actual practice outside of the hard times.
Yeah. I'm also even thinking about it. That's so helpful to hear. And I'm also thinking about it too in like the, you know, when you're in a longer partnership, when, you know, I'm not there yet. Like, my relationship is long, but I haven't reached a decade yet. So, and I'm thinking about a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades together, you know, when you're like, when you've been through it, when you've seen it and you've, you know, and you've done it all. And, you know, very little is new in it. And maybe 20 years down the line, you're going through one of those hard seasons. I think if you both have that shared vision of, you know, maintaining love, respect, and a healthy relationship and staying together if it's good for everybody. I think during those seasons, if you have a foundation of talking about hard things or talking about uncomfortable things, you also don't, I'm wondering if you won't necessarily look to your partner to make everything better immediately. What am I trying to say? Like, I wonder if we get more practiced about talking about uncomfortable things with our partner, we might even become more practiced ourselves with like self-soothing and self-reliance that can be needed when those relationships are ebbing and flowing. And does that make sense? I'm not even sure if this is a real point I'm making. Well, I'm honestly just musing out loud right now because I'm picturing like, okay, in 20 years, my kids are going to be in college or going out of my single child that I have right now. Hopefully we'll have more kids, but didn't want to, not pregnant, guys. For the folks who are,
for the folks who have been with us for a while,
yeah. Perking up their ears. And so say we're going through a hard time where like we don't really feel super connected. I wonder if like the foundation of our relationship is healthy, honest communication. If I'm going to need quite as much from my partner, I don't know what I'm saying, man. I'm losing my point. Can you, do you see what I'm trying to say? Or am I just like making a hypothesis that's like A plus B equals blue?
I mean, that does sometimes happen.
You're like, I mean, yes.
No, I mean, I think what you're getting at is that like, if we take the time to like fill the cup up in good times, then like in the future, when, if there's like a time when it's like things are getting depleted, like at least your cup will have been filled already, you know, like you won't,
yes, yeah,
you won't like need to go to them to be like, fill up my cup, because it'll be like, oh, I've got a reserve.
I think that's what it is. I'm thinking about like resentment, maybe, you know, if you're talking about the little things throughout those 20 years, if you're always sort of feeling like you're a safe space for each other, and maybe there comes a time in which one of you is ill or one of you struggling with their mental health, or one of you is just feeling like a little checked out or something, or whatever it is, there might not be the sense of like drastic urgency, because like you said, the cup is full, or the cup is used to being filled, so it doesn't feel like such a,
sure,
an overflowing of need or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just important to remember too that like doing this work on the front end maybe makes it easier, or like develops the muscles to be able to practice when things are hard, but it doesn't mean that it's easier, right? Or like that it's not going to be challenging, or that emotions aren't going to come up too, right? Like, because I think sometimes we're like, well, I don't understand why we're in conflict right now, because like we've been having those hard conversations, and it's like, yeah, absolutely. And also like nothing prevents this kind of stuff from, nothing prevents people from getting sick, or prevents people from having bad mental health days, or whatever might be the thing that is like kind of driving the anxiety around the relationship. And like, it does help make us more practiced at exactly what Sierra said, which is like kind of like seeing things in the context that they need to be seen in, which is like, yeah, we're having a hard time right now. And, you know, like 6 months ago, we were having those hard conversations and like figuring this out. So like, I have faith that this, we can get back to this place, or like this too will end, you know, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to like suck if somebody gets sick or what, any of those different things happen.
I'm also, I should have added this context. Another reason why like those, you know, multi-decade long-term relationships, are on my mind is because we were talking about how neither of us have a ton or any really healthy examples of long lasting relationships. Now, I actually don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because as I've said on the podcast and like joked about, but also really genuinely mean, like I'm so glad my parents got divorced. I'm so glad that my parents recognized that it would be more unhealthy for both of them and their children if they stayed together in this really unhealthy marriage. And I know Willow feels the same about many of the elders in her life, but like, we don't have a ton of examples of long-lasting relationships that don't have their own, you know, sort of toxic baggage with them. Like, everybody's toxic, though. Everybody can be messy. And the one that she did really uphold in this idea of, like, she thought this was like the holy grail of relationships. She learned in adulthood, they went through these stages of like a lot of disconnect and stuff like that. So we were just having like an ongoing conversation about what we thought about, time and its effect on relationships, and how we can strengthen our relationship now in the everyday, like you said, fill up the cup in the everyday, so that, and practice filling the cup so that when maybe one of us is less able to show up or something's going on, we remember the shared vision. We remember the ability that we can fill up that cup, the reservoir of communication and love and respect. But I don't know. You know, I don't have the answers yet, because I haven't been together for 20 True. Years. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We are just making it up as we go along, as always, yeah. as in all things.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for musing with me on that. And thank God that dream was not real because I was so stressed out. I sleep so much better now that I'm not a cheater. And that is the most, that's the least hyperbolic thing I've ever said. I used to sleep
that's
so terribly.
Funny to me.
Anyway. All right. Let's get into today's letter. I really appreciate this letter. It's from Kerfuffled in Colorado, whose pronouns are she, her, who's writing to us from Colorado, USA. I'm finally writing in because this isn't a topic I remember hearing much on, and I'm struggling with it. As a divorced mom in her 30s with two children, dating in my age bracket has been rough. I'm a successful businesswoman with engaging hobbies. I'm well-educated. I travel the world. I'm a solid 7-8 when I'm putting in the work, haha. While I don't want more children and do not wish to marry, no thank you to legally binding paperwork again, I would love someone to share my life with. And yet, most men in this 30s to 40s bracket still want marriage and kids of their own. It absolutely breaks me for men to basically say, you're awesome, but since you don't want to make babies for me, it's gonna be a pass. It literally is men saying, I'd rather hold out on the perspective of tiny humans I haven't met yet and may never even be able to have or even like when you get them, instead of this incredible person here before me. While I absolutely love my life, it's tough not to feel that kind of rejection at a core level, knowing that being with me will always be a compromise. She's great, but she's got two kids. She's great, but I want kids and she doesn't. I know there's the whole, there's a lid for every pot, or the ickiest, once you find the right person, you'll change your mind. But I'm just exhausted. Exhausted from feeling like I've worked so hard, I'm absolutely crushing it, and men look at all of this and think, but babies, but marriage, and none of the other awesome stuff that really matters. I'm fully taking a dating hiatus right now because I met a guy last year who really checked so many boxes. Incredible, engaging conversation, great sex, successful, aligned relationship styles that ended because he, you guessed it, just couldn't imagine a future without marriage and kids of his own. How do I stop feeling like my only options are to compromise or be alone? How do I take the sting out of standing firm in what I want in a relationship at the cost of seemingly every available partner?
All right, Kerfuffled, thank you so much for writing and trusting us with this question. I'm so sorry that you're feeling so frustrated with the dating pool that you are currently swimming in. It sucks to get rejected. And it sucks to get rejected for something that feels really important to you. And that it feels like people aren't looking at all of you. They're just looking at this one part of you that is incompatible and saying like, oh, I don't want all of the amazing work that this person has put into themselves and their lives and all of that. And I think, you know, you as somebody who has been married, who has children, know the realities of what marriage and children are in ways that these prospective mates might not, and might be idealizing it or, you know, looking at it with rose-colored glasses, whereas you're like, it's really not everything that it's cut out to be, I'll tell you that much, right? So I can deeply understand some of the frustration that you're having in this. And, you know, I think Sierra and I want to help affirm the choices that you're making about what you want your life to be and what you want your relationships to look like, and help offer some perspective, not so that the pain of this rejection goes away, but so that it feels like it might be a little easier for you to wrap your head and your heart around. But before we do that, we are going to take a quick break.
Spring has sprung and summer is just around the corner. Packing your bag with sunscreen, your emotional support water bottle, and that steamy beach read. But wait, this year there's a new kind of essential that's right at your fingertips. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And get this, there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era historical fiction, my absolute favorite, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you will always find something new to explore. Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction.
For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/justbreakup. dipseastories.com/justbreakup. All right, welcome back, my darlings, and thank you to our letter writer for this very thoughtful letter and for your listening to it. your patronage, I guess.
Your ears, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I want to say that your feelings of rejection are really real, and your feelings of frustration at this situation is doubly real. It's real, real, because like woman to woman, I see this coming from this big universal wound that women can do everything. They're told that they can do everything. They work so hard, and yet still we're constantly told in so many different avenues that we're not enough, and that our highest value to society is making offsprings with our body. And, you know, it's like you can have a successful business. You can already make children. You can be a great partner. You can do all of these things. And still it's your core value is this. And so I know that it's like, I know this is frustrating and the rejection is personal. And also it's this universal, like, I'm constantly coming up short to society's expectation of women. It's like, be beautiful, but don't be slutty, be sexual, you know, but don't put out too much. Don't, you know, like, be sexual, but you got to be a mom someday, whatever. Obviously I'm like doing the bad paraphrasing of the Barbie monologue, but y'all get what is. I'm trying to say.
I was waiting.
So yes, this frustration is real. And your rejection is real. It sucks to be rejected on any level. But I do think that they're going hand in hand. And I think this frustration is coloring your rejection to make you potentially like catastrophize what's going on. Not that it's not awful. Like, I'm not here to say this isn't a challenge in dating that you're going to come up against over and over and over again. None of what I'm about to say is to devalue your rejection and your frustration, because they're all real and they're all really valid. And also, in the same moment, in the same breath, I want to offer the idea that although rejection feels personal, it's rarely personal. It feels personal, but it isn't, because let's do a little bit of a reframe. Like, you're not being, it feels like you're being chosen over these unborn babies, right? I feel like a pro-choice rally poster right now. I mean a pro-life.
Yeah, for sure.
It feels like you're being chosen over these unborn potential offspring, right? But the reframe is I'm not being pitted against the two, right? It's not me or this. It feels like it. It feels like it, okay? But sometimes our feelings don't necessarily translate to the truth, or like our feelings aren't necessarily in hand with reality, because these people aren't looking at you and saying, nope, I don't want her, I want this unborn child. They're coming to you with a much more complex, diverse human experience like you have had. They're coming to you and saying, I have a vision for my life. I have a vision for dating and relationships, and that vision includes having children, getting married, whatever it is, right? And you're coming to them with your unique, diverse lived experience, and you're saying, I have a vision for dating, and it doesn't include children, and it doesn't include marriage.
Yep.
And they have a right to do that, and you have a right to do that as well.
For sure.
It still sucks. It still hurts. It's still super frustrating, especially because of the societal context that we talked about earlier. But if you try, you know, this is the hardest thing we can ask of ourselves when we're feeling pain, but trying to reframe it away from the personal. It's not, I'm going to choose this abundant plethora of unknown babies over this one awesome person. It's not that. It feels like it, but it's not that.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely much more complicated than that, because it's not just about like unborn babies. It's also, we keep saying unborn babies too much. It's too much.
I know. It's already been taken. It's already been, that's been like copywritten by
absolutely.
The pro-life folks.
Shouldn't be using it, but these potential children, right. It's also about like what a vision for the future is, right? And do I think that maybe that vision is like limited? For sure. Absolutely. Like I also am like, yep, you don't know if that's going to happen. Like all of the things that you said in the letter. And also I really want to respect and hold that for some people having kids and being married is like the thing that they envision for what their future is. Right. Like, and that's okay. Right. And that's choices that they get to make based on, you know, what's going on in their own bodies and their own lives.
Well, and because if Sam said, you know what, it's a limiting worldview because maybe one day they're going to change their mind. That's the same thing that people say to you that feels really icky, you know?
And right. Absolutely.
Does it suck? Like one day, maybe you meet the right person and then you're going to change your mind about marriage. Does it suck for them to say that? Yeah. Does it, you know, but it's a yes. And all of these things are true at the same time.
That's true. I didn't think I was going to get married, and then here I am. So I also just want to say that I really respect that you have this, like, this pretty concrete vision of what your future is going to look like, right? And I really appreciate the idea that you're like, I don't want to compromise on these things. I don't want to get married, and I don't want to have more kids. Like, I think that that's wonderful. And I just want to name that means that your vision of your own future is going to be incompatible with people who have their own strong visions of what their future relationship is going to look like. And that's not a bad thing. In fact, I think it's probably good that you are really clear about what you want and can articulate it and are telling people and understanding, like, I don't want to compromise on this. Like, this is a non-starter for me. And when you start dating people who have different visions of their futures, like, that unwillingness to compromise on it means that you're going to be incompatible with people. And this is not a bad thing. Like, I don't think you should compromise on this if you don't want to. And one of the challenges, or like the one of the repercussions of us standing so firmly in our values of who we are and what we want for our future, means that it's going to weed out people who are also very confident about a future that they want that is different than ours. And it's I know that the rejection hurts and this feels bad, for sure. Absolutely. Not discrediting that at all. And if you know that you want your life to look like not getting married again and not having children, then it's good that this issue came to the surface in a way that like brought into reality the incompatibility that you had with each other's futures, so that you're not sitting there in relationship with the person who wants something different and is not are talking about it, right? Or that you get 4 years down the road and suddenly you're having big blow up fights about the fact that, you know, he wants to have kids and you're not willing to, right? Sometimes, like we kind of talked about this in the check-in topic, right? Like bringing some of these things to light in the relationship is actually helpful because it helps us decide whether or not this relationship is working for us. And like, yes, it does suck when you are in relationship with somebody you really like and you just have incompatible ideas of what your future should look like. Like that never gets easier. And it's a good thing that it's happening, because otherwise you'd just both be assuming that you're on the same page working toward the same goal until suddenly it becomes abundantly clear that that can't be true, right? And that creates all sorts of heartbreak and all sorts of pain. But I keep referring to this as like an incompatibility about the vision for your future, because I want to reframe this idea that like you are being chosen second to all of these potential babies, right? That's not true. What's actually happening here is that you and this person have really incompatible visions of the future, which means that a relationship wouldn't work anyway, even if you were like the most perfect person for them, because we are all defined. Our relationships are all defined by our compatibilities and incompatibilities. And if we have one that's this big, then it makes it hard for the relationship to continue. Not because either of you is a terrible person or not hot enough or like not successful enough, right? Or any of these different things, but just because that relationship itself is incompatible given what you two want for what your futures are.
And that sucks.
It does. Absolutely.
Like, I wish that this, I know that there's comfort in this answer because I know there's comfort in reframing this rejection as something personal to something more personal. It's about the other person's vision of their life and yours, you know, and the incompatibility in that. But that doesn't take away from the frustration, and the pain, you know, the rejection, because it does, again, it feels like they're choosing the potential of this future over this real living human person right here. And that, I don't know how that gets easier, but like, I can't tell you how, you know. I can't tell you the steps about like how to deal with that, because it's always going to hurt a little. But you can tell yourself it feels personal, but it isn't. You know, you can repeat things that we've said on this podcast or whatever makes you feel better. And I love what Sam said about how having like firmer boundaries or visions for your life when you enter the dating field, it will change your dating experience. It doesn't doom it. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't necessarily make it harder, but it does weed out a percentage of the dating field that you are not compatible with, right?
Right.
Which is frustrating, but again, mismatched visions for your future. But I love how Sam phrased that, because it's like, again, if we do a small perspective shift saying, you know, I'm resolute in my boundaries. I know I don't want to get married. I know I don't want more children. And that's what I'm going to move forward with, the confidence of those things. And that will inevitably affect relationships. It's just going to. But again, even that is not personal. Even your own personal boundaries. It's like, I don't know. It's not about you or your value as a person, which I know is hard to interpret sometimes because of the way, again, society makes women feel about their value in work and home life and baby making and whatever. Anyway, so again, if maybe one of the things you say to yourself is like, it feels personal, but it's not personal. Another thing you can say is like, the field in which I am dating in will be smaller because I have strong boundaries over my vision for my life. And that is not a bad thing. Like, that's actually what I want. This is a good thing. If you can try to work on reframing that, it's a good thing that sometimes feels bad. That's what I would say to myself.
For sure.
And maybe sometimes, you know, the mantra that you say is like, fuck 'em. They don't know what they're missing. You know, it's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to feel like, dang, it sucks. You know what? The last thing I'll say is sometimes it is probably really disappointing that there are people out there who don't see, I don't know, being a step parent as something that's valuable in their life's vision. Or as I know for a fact that our society puts such an emphasis on having children, as like the pinnacle of human experience. So I want to leave space for like critiquing the conditioning that we've received that maybe some of these men are acting under. And also, I knew that I wanted to have children in my life, and that's something I pursued. And this is a lived experience that you have had, you know, like they're just not compatible right now in this moment. And both people are in the okay.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, long story short, you don't have to compromise to be single, you know, like that. that sort of dichotomy between those two choices is so true emotionally, so true in like our feelings about it, right? And also like just not true in real life.
Will yes, it make, that's a great way to put it. That's confusing.
Yeah, absolutely. But true. and yes, like, is your, you know, unwillingness or inability to compromise on some of these things going to mean that there are people who are out there who are going to be incompatible with you? Absolutely, that's true. And that's not a bad thing, right? It's okay for you to stand in what you know to be true about what you want in your life. And doing that, of course, means that some folks are going to say, that's not for me. But it also means that hopefully the right people are going to look and say, oh, yes, absolutely. I'm in agreement with that. And I want to find someone who shares that idea of what our future is going to look like as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my darling, we love you so much. And thanks for listening. And we hope this helps.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us, or if you would like to join us for our office hours, you can support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode, as well as access to those monthly office hours, which are just a Zoom hangout with me and Sierra. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DMs, send us your favorite relationship memes, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duveed Media. Original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his music and his podcast. And remember, our feelings are valid. And also, sometimes our feelings aren't really telling us anything that we need to take into the real world, right? Other than something's hurting here. Something's missing here. I'm feeling angry here. I'm feeling unheard here. Sometimes our feelings are just telling us that we need to be taken care of by ourselves. They aren't necessarily telling us a bigger truth about something. And if all else fails,
just break up.